Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Welspun Corp Q1 FY23 earnings conference call hosted by Emkay Global Financial Services. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Abhineet Anand from Emkay Global Financial Services. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, and good morning, everyone. On behalf of Emkay Global, I would like to welcome you all to the Q1 FY23 earnings conference call of Welspun Corp Limited. I would now like to hand over the call to Mr. Abhinandan Singh, Group Head, Investor Relations, Welspun Group, to introduce the management team and take it forward. Over to you, sir.
Thanks, Abhineet, and good morning, everyone. On behalf of Welspun Corp Limited, I welcome all of you to the company's Q1 FY23 earnings conference call. We have with us today Mr. Vipul Mathur, Managing Director and CEO, Mr. Percy Birdy, Chief Financial Officer of Welspun Corp Limited, and Mr. Akhil Jindal, Group CFO and Head Strategy. Along with us, we also have Gaurav Arjan, who leads investor relations for Welspun Corp. We will, as usual, start this forum with opening remarks by Mr. Vipul Mathur, and after that, the floor will be open for your questions. Should you have any queries that remain unanswered after today's earnings call, you can reach out to either Gaurav or me. With that, let me hand over the floor over to Mr. Vipul Mathur, MD and CEO, Welspun Corp. Over to you.
Thanks, Abhinandan. Thank you very much. Good morning to all of you gentlemen. Thanks for taking time to attend this call for Q1 FY23 results of Welspun Corp. To start with, I just want to run through the key highlights of our operational and financial performance during the quarter ended 30th June. We have a very robust order book of 1 million ton and an active order book of 1.9 million ton at this point in time. We are preparing to execute the Welspun Corp largest, single largest order ever, valued at 5,000 crore rupees in the U.S. Our business growth and diversification strategy is on track. As you would have noted, we have completed the commissioning of our state-of-the-art blast furnace and sinter plant and our TMT bar facility. We have voluntarily published the first business responsibility and sustainability report as an early adopter. For the quarter, the production and sales volume for our total operations, including Saudi, was at 158,000 tons and 157,000 tons respectively. For India operations, our sales volume was at 92,000 tons. For U.S. operations, our sales volume was 7,000 tons, and for our Saudi operations, our sales volume was at 58,000 tons. Let me give some outlook and a brief update and what we see as the key drivers for each and every market where we operate in. As you would have seen, oil prices have moved in a range with concerns about supply as Western sanctions on Russian crude and fuel supplies have disrupted trade flows to refiners. On the other hand, there are rising worries that central bank efforts to tame surging inflation may trigger a recession that could cut future fuel demand. As spot steel prices across the world have remained under pressure in the last few months, recessionary pressure, lower consumer confidence, and renewed fear of a lockdown in China have led to a downward pressure on the prices of the steel. We have noticed steel prices have dropped significantly domestically in India after the Ministry of Steel imposed an export duty of 15% in May 2022. The current environment of high energy prices, coupled with the decline in the global prices for steel, augurs extremely well for us. We are in active discussion for several export orders across the world, which we hope to win in due course of time. This comes at a strategic time when even European Union seeks to wean off its Russian gas flow following the invasion in Ukraine and is seeking alternative sources. In addition, there is a significant demand for pipes in Southeast Asian market, Middle East market, and African market, which should create a robust order pipeline for exports for us in near future. We talk specifically about India. Gas demand prospects in India remain strong as the government has set a target to raise the share of natural gas in the energy mix from current 6% to 15% by 2030. According to IEA, India's total gas consumption is projected to increase by 19% or or to 13 BCM during the period 21-2025, which is equivalent to a 4% annual average growth rate. The industrial sector will remain the biggest driver for growth between 21 and 2025, accounting to about 40% of the net increase in India's natural gas consumption. Residential and commercial and transport sectors will make similarly strong contributions thanks to the continued expansion of the domestic gas grid. Gas use in the power generation sector is likely to decline by 14% in the period 2021 to 2025 as high imported and rising domestic prices rendered gas-fired power uncompetitive related to other fuels. Approximately two-thirds of India's incremental gas demand is set to be satisfied with growing domestic production. The remaining one-third has to be met with imported LNG, but even after 11% increase in LNG inflows foreseen between 2021 to 2025, total LNG demand in 2025 will stay slightly below 2020 peak as high prices discourage greater LNG use in the years ahead. The policy framework remains supportive for natural gas in India, although affordability has emerged as a major concern. The expansion of the city gas distribution grid is set to continue and accelerate further after the conclusion of India's 11th bid round this year. The size of India's gas transmission network could increase by 75%, and LNG import capacity could grow by an additional 40% during the forecasted period with the completion of project currently under construction. We are seeing demand coming back in the water sector, which has been very muted since the start of the pandemic. With the cooling off in the steel pricing, projects that were put on hold are now being proposed to be completed. There is an increased traction across states like Gujarat, Maharashtra, Tamil Nadu, Karnataka, Madhya Pradesh, Punjab and Rajasthan. With our pan-India presence, we are likely to see the upside in our business volumes coming from these states. There is a strong intent to meet the ambitious target as envisaged in various government schemes. The focus by both the central and the state governments on developing water infrastructure is expected to drive the demand for large diameter SO pipes and DI pipes in months to come. As regards USA, the US pipeline operators are expected to have benefited from high oil and gas prices and rising domestic production in the second quarter of 2022. Natural gas projects are expected to be the mainstay of growth in coming years as production rises. There is an increased demand for exports to the new customers in Europe, who are trying to diversify away from Russian energy, and in Asia, where many countries are boosting imports of LNG. EIA estimates that US LNG exports averaged 11.2 billion cubic feet per day in the first half of 2022, compared to 9.5 billion BCF per day in the same period of 2021. It expects LNG exports to average 10.9 BCF in 2022 and 12.7 BCF in 2023. After years of underinvestment in US, the focus is now boosting the oil and gas supply within the country. The number of active oil and gas drilling rigs in the United States have rose by 272 or 56% in past 1 year to the highest point since March 2020. We recently announced winning of the single largest order in our history for supply of pipes valued at 5,000 rupees plus in the US. This order is for supply 300,000 tons of large diameter coated pipes for transporting natural gas from Permian Basin to the coast in Houston. The pipes for this order will be produced from our Little Rock plant in the US, and the same will be executed over a period of 12 months commencing at second half of FY 2023. This large new order from the US comes on the back of another win we had announced in April 22 of a 26,000 tons order from a long-standing customer in North America. Coming to Saudi Arabia intends to invest in fossil fuel production over the next two decades to meet the growing global demand and avoid energy shortages. Saudi Aramco aims to boost its capex to $40 billion in 2022, with further growth expected until around the middle of the decade. It plans to raise crude oil maximum sustainable capacity to 13 million barrels a day by 2027 and wants to boost gas production by more than 50% by 2030. With surging oil prices, we are confident that multiple opportunities arise both in the oil and gas and the water segment in Saudi Arabia. In July 2022, our associate company, Epic East Pipe Company, which is in Saudi Arabia, was awarded with a contract by SWCC to manufacture and supply of steel pipes. The contract was valued at Saudi Riyal 324 million and the same will be executed in this financial year. This is in addition to the recent award of SAR 490 million contract awarded in May and another 497 million contract in March 2022, both of which will also be awarded by SWCC. As regards long product, long steel, the infrastructure investment is witnessing a renewed impetus from the government as India aims to achieve a $5 trillion economy. A series of structural reforms have been announced that has set the foundation for economic growth on the back of the infrastructure development. One such reform taken last year was the launch of PM Gati Shakti National Master Plan. This rupees 100 lakh crore mega plan was launched with a digital platform to bring 16 ministries together for integrated planning and implementation of projects. Under the Pradhan Mantri Awas Yojana, urban housing for all, central assistance has been provided to the states and union territories since 2015 for giving all weather pakka houses to eligible urban beneficiaries, including homeless people. Based on the project proposals submitted by the states and union territories, a total of 1.22 crore rupees has been sanctioned till March 2022, of which 41 lakh houses have been sanctioned in the last 2 years. Overall, the focus on development is visible and the demand for long steel products will be supported by increased spending on infrastructure and construction. Welspun Specialty Steel Limited. Our stainless steel bar volumes were higher by 997% and pipe volumes were higher by 93% for the Q1 FY23, both compared to the corresponding periods in the previous year. The BIS standard for seamless tubes and pipes, which is BIS 17875, has been introduced, which is favorable for WSSL. The company has already initiated a process to obtain the accreditation. Welspun Steel has also received its first order from an oil and gas sector PSU for Monel 400 grade tubes. The company delivered its first order of high pressure heater tubing in grade 304N U tubes. Overall, WSSL is expected to improve performance to sustain on the back of several new customer approvals and accreditations. I would also like to inform and bring you on speed on a few additional business updates. Number one, dividend. As you would have noticed, the board has recommended a final dividend of rupees 5 per share, which is 100% of the face value for FY22, and the same was paid after the AGM on 29th of July 2022. We have demonstrated a strong performance track record with average sales volume of more than 1.1 million tons in the year, which has led to a generation of healthy cash flows from our business. This has helped us in deleveraging and strengthening our balance sheet while reinvesting for growth. In addition, this has enabled us to reward our shareholders. We have been a consistent dividend paying company and also did a buyback of shares in FY2020. Update on ductile iron pipe and TMT bar projects. The commissioning of our blast furnace and sinter plant and TMT manufacturing facility in Punjab, Gujarat was completed in July of 2022. The blast furnace can produce approximately 500,000 tons, half a million metal per annum, which will primarily be used for manufacturing of pig iron and ductile iron pipes. The trial production of ductile iron pipes have also started and the facility has recently received its first phase of BIS certification. The integrated steel complex is equipped with the latest cutting-edge technology, which includes a blast furnace, a sinter plant, PCI plant, oxygen plant, coke oven, beside a 400,000 tons per annum capacity DI plant. The TMT manufacturing facility also has a capacity of 350,000 tons per annum. We have an existing manufacturing setup of BIS certified steel billets, which will be used as an input for the manufacturers of these TMT bars. The acquisition of Sintex BAPL entity. Welspun Corp growth story entails creating a diversified product portfolio, repurposing its business to add new target segments, expanding its offerings to address both B2B and B2C markets, and thus making well-considered strategic acquisition. In this regard, we have acquired Sintex BAPL's entities with an outstanding of ₹1,222 for a purchase price of 418 crore as on date by our wholly owned subsidiary, Messrs. Mahatma Plastics. On the ESG initiative, SEBI, as I just want to update that SEBI has stated that with effect from the financial year 2020-23, filing of BRSR will be mandatory for the top 1,000 listed companies by market capitalization and shall replace the existing business responsibility report. Filing of BRSR is voluntary for the year financial year FY 2021 and 2022. As a proactive measure, we have mapped ESG information with the requirements of BRSR. In the coming years, our strategic focus will be to undertake action and allocate adequate resources to achieve our ESG goals in alignment with our associated business goals. Some of the key priorities areas for us are energy efficiency measures, prioritizing renewable energy strategies, effect on the well-being and prosperity of employees and stakeholders, monitoring targets and communicate to stakeholders on a timely basis while prioritizing our environment and social goals, sustainable supply chain program, and highest level of transparency and disclosures. We have a holistic long-term vision aligned with our business, social and environment objectives aimed at establishing a healthy ecosystem of economic growth and societal value creation. As we move into the future, ESG will be the cornerstone of our financial success, competitive advantage, and future accomplishments. I also take this opportunity to update you on our future performance drivers. Number one, hydrogen. As the energy demands across the world evolve rapidly, we are undertaking strategic interventions in new opportunities and segments. We have joined a global H2P pipe joint global JIP for the design and operation of hydrogen pipelines launched by leading industrial certification body DNV. We are helping to develop a recommended practice for design, requalification, construction, and operations of pipelines for hydrogen gas transportation. As a steering committee member, we will be collaborating with the top 24 world premier energy companies to provide technical expertise in this project and aiming to lay the foundation for the hydrogen infrastructure. We have signed an MOU with Tata Steel to develop the framework for subsequently manufacturing steel and pipes for transporting of pure hydrogen and natural gas blended hydrogen. The Green Energy Strategic Partnership is to assess the suitability of various pipe manufactured by us for the transportation of hydrogen. Apart from hydrogen, we are also very focused on carbon capture and emission reduction technologies, green steel, and investment in our renewables to meet carbon reduction targets. Number two is about the DI pipes. The Jal Shakti Ministry has allocated approximately 86,000 crore rupees for FY 2023 for developing the DI infrastructure network in the country. Our internal, based on the interaction with various industry participants, indicate a robust demand for DI pipes over the next 5 to 7 years, with projected demand outstripping supply. We currently estimate that almost 2.3 million tons of DI pipes are likely to be bought in the financial year FY 2023. Stainless steel tubes and pipes. There is a big push for localization of these projects, Aatmanirbhar Bharat, implementation of the quality order, mandatory BIS certification, and restriction on imports from China are the key drivers to the growth of this sector. The key areas where we would be servicing or supplying our stainless steel pipes would be power, nuclear, and defense, where we see a steady demand pull. TMT bars. As I explained, there is a demand uptick stemming from the government thrust on infrastructure, particularly in the rural market, apart from a pickup in the construction activity. This will lead to an increased offtake of long products. The government has a fixed objective of increasing rural construction of steel from current 19.5 kg per capita to 38 kg per capita by 2030-31. Polymers. India per capita consumption of polymers stands at 11 kgs, which is one-tenth of that what United States and less than one-third that what China consumes. There has been a rapid increase in the polymer consumption in India in the last few years. It is estimated that the polymer consumption will continue its growth momentum and record a CAGR of more than 8%. Consumption is expected to double by 2030 and thereafter quadruple for the current level between 2030 and 2040. In this regard, we have taken a strategic position of acquiring the entities for BAPL. As you know, Sintex is a national brand with more than 10% market share in 2018. It has three major lines of business. One is the water tanks, other was OEMs for automobiles, and third was fuel tanks for auto. Before getting initial stress, The fintech has a turnover of more than 1700 crore rupees in FY19 and an EBITDA of 270 crore rupees, implying a 16% margin. The diversification into B2C segment will help WCL to significantly expand its base, enhance its brand, penetrate new market, and build a distribution network and provide opportunities to develop new products. Fintech BFL is a popular water storage tank which has a strong brand connect with the consumer. It has a wholesale and a distribution network of approximately 900 distributors and 13,000 retailers. There are potential synergies for leveraging this extensive distribution platform for our products within the group. In addition, the distribution reach can help us to incubate and launch new projects and establish a new building material vertical at WCL. With this, I would conclude my opening remark. I will be happy to take any questions if you have. The floor is now open for the questions. Thank you.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. First question comes from the line of Vikas Singh from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Vikas.
Sir, I want to understand the subsidiary performance. What kind of losses we had in the US subsidiary this quarter? We understand that SS Tubing has 3 crore kind of the losses. So is the remaining 47 crore of the EBITDA loss coming from US alone, or there are something else to it?
So in the US, you know, as you know that we have the order for almost 300 or 1000 tons, which will start the production and execution some second half of this year, commencing September. We also have an additional order for the which the production has just started. So in this particular quarter, you know, there were losses because there were, you know, the production volumes was absolutely low. All what we were producing was only the ERW pipes. So I'm sure that, you know, and, you know, in the second half of the year, we will see the complete production coming back on stream. And then for the next 4-6 quarters, it will be continuously operational. Now coming to the stainless steel part of it, we had an EBITDA neutral there. You know, we had come out from the red for the very first time. The company seems to be in black, and you know, and that is what we were anticipating. And from here on, order book and the market potential, I think so. The, you know, from here on quarter, we will see things only improving from here. The other subsidiaries were our pig iron businesses. As you know, they were into the project stage at this point in time. So there were certain, you know, losses which could not have been capitalized. Those losses have been coming up.
So that DI subsidiary losses, can we quantify how much that was at least?
So because at the EBITDA level, as the MD mentioned, in WSSL we had a positive EBITDA of 1 crore in the public domain because WSSL is a listed company. And in the other startup businesses, which is WML, WDI, that's the DI business, and also the billets business and the greenfield venture of ATMT, all put together we had about 13 crores of EBITDA negative. So that's why you will notice that the standalone numbers and the consolidated numbers, you will find that these startup operations, subsidiaries, are making that the standalone EBITDA looks a little higher.
Understood, sir. Sir, recently this Trans-Sahara pipeline has got signed by almost all of the interested party. Just wanted to understand the opportunity. Are we present in that geography, and would that opportunity is also addressable by us, or we are looking somewhere else, etc.? So if you could just give us a little bit thought about the European diversification point of view.
Because when you say Trans-Sahara, I guess you are reflecting to this TCOP pipeline.
Yeah. So recently that 13 billion, I think the project cost pipeline deal has been signed last week only, which was basically, hello, am I audible?
Yeah.
So that pipeline which was supposed to go through Nigeria, Algeria, and transport the gas to Europe basically.
Yeah, it is. The name of that pipeline is the ECOP pipeline. I think so. It has been patient for quite some time. We have been actively pursuing that pipeline for a couple of years. Looks like they still have some financial challenges around that. But I'm sure that, you know, it will come to a logical conclusion within this financial year. That's the sense we are getting. You know, it's a project from Total. As a frame contract signatory with Total, we are actively participating into that particular project. We are there into the game. But we have to see that in what direction it will go, because they have an option to buy either a longitudinal pipe or even an ERW pipe. So we have positioned ourselves for the longitudinal pipes. If they buy longitudinal, then we are there actively with them. But if it is an ERW pipe, then they will have to look at some other options. So right now it is a work in progress. We are poised there. We are active there.
And sir, some thoughts on the European gas diversification from Russia. How do you see that panning out, or any thought process, any progress which has happened in that geography?
There is going to be a robust demand which is going to come up from Europe, specifically in two particular areas. Number one is hydrogen, as they are looking for alternate fuel. And also we are seeing, you know, we are seeing some business opportunities coming up in Turkey. We are also hearing about, you know, revival of the East Med pipeline. So there are quite a few activities. You know, there were those who have gone to a back burner, now they are coming back onto the stream. And we are actively involved in pursuing each and every opportunity of them. I hope that by the end of this financial year, the Q4 of this financial year, and over the next year, there would be some opportunities which we will come up, and we will be an active participant in all those opportunities, please.
Understood, sir. So my second question towards the billet and SS segment: by when you think that you would be able to turn around these companies at the PBT level, and they will stop being a drag on the cash flows of the pipes?
See, on the billets, you know, the whole purpose of putting an upstream TMT mill was to de-risk our business of billets, right? Because selling of billet is much more challenging than selling of TMT bus or the long products. And that is what the whole rationale of our investment is. And we are absolutely on track. In the quarter, we would be done with the complete commissioning of the of our project, of the TMT project. And from the third quarter onwards, you will see the TMT bar going into the particular market. And I think so that will possibly help in terms of stopping any drag which was happening on the balance sheet.
Understood. And sir, lastly, some update on this Syntex. Do we require more investment there? What's the roadmap there, basically?
It is a work in progress. At this point in time, it is under NCLT. It is undergoing a process. And we are, as you know, we have taken some NCDs, almost 418 crore rupees that we have already purchased. It's a work in progress. It is going to take some time. And once we are absolutely on board in an exit, then we will try and articulate the further growth strategy for that.
Understood, sir. Understood. And sir, just one last question, if I may ask. So since you don't give guidance, but can we assume that since second half, a significant portion of the U.S. order will start flowing in, then we would be seeing the performance like in what we have seen in FY20, first half significantly lower and second half tremendously good and making up for all the dull first half, basically?
Because that's a very good question. You know, let me just give you a little background to this. See, the first half performance cannot be a reflection of the yearly performance. First half performance is also a reflection of the commodity surge what we have seen during the Q4 and the Q1. You know, the buying pattern has completely stopped. The commodity pricing was extremely high. You know, there was quite a bit of a slowdown which has happened because of that. Since May, things have started cooling off, and we are seeing that the commodity prices are now coming back onto the track, which means that the production is also, you know, the buying is also coming onto track. And as the buying comes on track, the executions will start maybe a quarter thereafter. So you are absolutely right in your assumption that in the second half of the year, you know, you will see a sort of a superlative growth coming up into the performance. and on a yearly basis. And we have always said that this company need to be watched on a yearly performance rather than a quarter-on-quarter performance. I am sure that we will be able to meet, if not exceed, the expectations of the street.
Thank you for the elaborated answer, sir, and all the best for future.
Thank you, Vikas.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Sailesh Raja from B&K Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Sir, generally you give geography-wise EBITDA per ton guidance for India around $70, US is around $200, $250, and Saudi around $150. And we were having only line pipes. Now we have ventured into multiple products like steel billets, TMT bar, DI pipes, and stainless steel pipes. So can you please give a product-wise normalized EBITDA per ton guidance? And also, from when we start seeing this normalized EBITDA per ton from these new products?
See, giving a, you know, while on the pipe side of it, it is a very steady state established business, and we have, you know, there is a long history around those products, and you have been monitoring the performance and the EBITDA deliverance around that. That's why it is easier to give a guidance around that product. At this point in time, for the new product like the TMTs and all that stuff, I think so, as and when they come onto the stream, which is going to happen in the, you know, in this particular quarter, I think so, once they, those businesses come on stream and they start stabilizing, I think so that will be a very appropriate time, Salesh, to give you a guidance. We don't want to give any guidance which we cannot live up to. So, kindly allow us some more time to first settle down that businesses and then start giving guidances around that, please.
Sure, sir. And also in the last 5-6 months, our order books have jumped sharply. So, of this incremental new orders, how much is back-to-back RMA scheduled and how much it is yet to open? And also in US, the new order is expected to start executing from 3Q FY23. So how the flow of the order execution will be, sir? This 3.7 lakh tons in US will be spread over 5 to 6 quarters, or within 3-4 quarters we can execute the entire 3.7 lakh tons?
So, Salesh, that's precisely the point I was trying to highlight. If you see January, February of this particular year, we had an order book of almost 500,000 tons, right? From then till June, we have now almost doubled our order book, which is a very clear indication that, you know, our success rate has been higher. We have been able to book order, and more than 1 million ton of an order is now under your belt, which we are going to execute. So there is nothing called uncertainty about orders at this point in time. It's only about the timing part of it. We, as these orders have been booked in the last 1 quarter or so, you know, it takes a time before it come into execution. Most of these orders will come into the execution in the second half of the year, and that is where we are saying that the H2 performance is going to be completely different what you are going to see in H1. As regards the US order, it is also falling into that particular category. It's likely to start the production and the dispatches around that order sometimes around September. And this order, which is almost more than 300,000 tons, will get executed over at least 5 quarters.
Okay, thank you, sir. And my last question is, so could you please talk about the hydrogen pipe in detail? What value add we are going to do and what is the opportunity we are seeing in the long term?
So hydrogen, on the hydrogen pipe, we are working on two strategies. Number one, on one side, we are a part and an active member in terms of, right, you know, working out the specifications and, you know, what should be the processes and all that stuff. And that is where we have joined GIP with DNV. That is on one side of it. On the other side of it, we are also collaborating with the steel suppliers globally, including in India with Tata, where we are trying to work around development of steel, how that steel can be converted into that pipe. And those pipes are compatible for taking 100% hydrogen as a carrier. So we are working on these both sides. I think so it's a journey. And we expect this journey, we are seeing this journey is getting fairly, fairly accelerated at this point in time. And I'm sure that, you know, in next 12 to 15 months time, we could potentially see the hydrogen pipes coming into play. It's a huge market. It's a huge demand which is going to come up for the same. And we are very, very buoyant that our future, you know, when we are talking of FY24 or 25, there would be a significant portion of our revenues and our earnings can come from this particular market. That's what we are anticipating, that's what we are hoping, and it is in that particular direction we are working for.
Okay, thank you, sir. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Krishna Agarwal from Niveshai. Please go ahead.
Firstly, good morning, sir. My first question is on the side of DI pipes. Are we getting any order or have you got any order from DI pipe segment?
Good morning, Krishna. I think on the DI side of it, as you know that we have just commissioned the plant. Right now, we are into the trial modes. We have already got our BIS approvals, the phase one of our BIS approvals. We are seeing, as I just mentioned in my opening remark, that there is a huge tailwind for the order. I think so the demand projections are looking extremely robust at this point in time. And, we do have some orders, and also we are working in terms of our approvals and accreditations with the various state agencies. That work is already in progress. We have been very successful in few states, and they in some other states also we are making our outreach. And in times to come, I think so, you know, in next one quarter or so, we should have our dominant presence, or we should rule in most of the states where we want to make our impact felt. So I think so that's a work which is absolutely working in the right direction. And we are also getting a good support and a good traction from the market. And we do have some orders coming in, trickling into our system, which we are aiming to execute in the second half of this year.
My next question is regarding this, that do we have any difference in EBITDA margin as to saw pipes and DI pipes? And what exactly could you put the numbers if the demand and supply gap, that how much tons capacity we have and how much tons capacity we are forecasting? So
in terms of capacity, Krishna, we have this project is almost close to 400 tons capacity. Our intent would be to use it to the maximum extent over a period of time. It is not that in the very first year we are going to, you know, use the fullest of the capacity. It is going to be a gradual ramp up, and that is how we want to do it. It is, you know, because we want to be a very responsible and a quality conscious player in so-called little unorganized market. So we are taking our right steps in the right direction, and I think so it would be our intent to at least do our capacity to the extent of 25-30% in this year, and then gradually ramp up over the next two and a half years time.
Okay. And EBITDA margin difference, do we have any EBITDA margin difference in DI and saw pipes?
EBITDA margin completely depends on your input raw material. I think so we are seeing a significant correction in the commodity pricing with respect to the, both in terms of iron ore as well as coal, because that they play a major role in the pricing of this. You know, right now, you know, whatever everyone has bought, everyone has is having an inventory, including us, which is of, which is at high price, because they were bought like 3 months back, and at that point in time, the commodity prices were extremely high. But as things have started tapering off, I think so, and the commodity started coming down, the balancing of the pricing has also started coming down. So we will see, you know, so the EBITDA margins maybe in this particular quarter could be very skewed, but in the subsequent quarters coming up, I think so it will be very harmonized. And as we get into an execution mode, see, right now we are just completing our trials, and we are just starting getting into an execution mode. I think so I will be much better placed to give you a much more clearer and a firmer guidance on the EBITDA margins once we ramp up our production to a certain level, please. So kindly help us and bear with us for some more time, one more quarter, and then we will be able to bring far more clarity on this particular subject with respect to the margins.
Okay, sir. Also, which regions we are going to cater in DI pipe segment?
Pan India.
Okay.
We will have a Pan India presence.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Krishna.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Nirav Shah from GC Investments. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning and thanks for the opportunity, sir. I have a few questions. Firstly, sir, if you can just share the plant-wise breakup of the order book and of the India book, what is the proportion of exports of the India book per se? Yeah, that's the first question.
So we have closed. Good morning, Nirav. Thanks. We have almost close to 1 million ton of an order book at this point in time. you know, if you look at our Saudi business, let's just start with India. Our India business is almost close to 350,000 tons. Our US business is also around 270,000 tons, and our Saudi business is also close to 300,000 tons. So it is a very equal and a uniform spread across all the three geographies, making up to 120, almost making up to a million ton of the business.
And what's the proportion of export book out of the India order book of 350,000 tons?
It will be close to more than 50%.
More than 50%. Got it. So second question is, were there any, you just mentioned that we were carrying some inventory, high cost inventory, and prices did correct. So were there any inventory losses in our steel business during the quarter? And second question on this is, what was the EBITDA performance at the US subsidiary for Little Rock? I mean, if there is any loss, I mean, if you can just quantify the loss.
There was a marginal loss which has come up because of no product, almost a very limited production in this particular quarter in US. I mean, what we will see a major production jump happening September onwards, which means in the quarter 3 and the quarter 4, that is where the maximum production and the dispatches are going to happen, right? In the quarter 1 and quarter 2, and we have the backlog of the order, we have the steel for that order. Not that, you know, there is any uncertainty around it. It is just a matter of timing when the things are going to get started on the ground. And that is going to happen from the quarter 3. So that is where you would see a significant jump coming up. But till that time, you know, there, because of low production and the, you know, the fixed cost is slightly going up because we are in the process of recruiting us and, you know, augmenting the scale of our operation. So there is likely to be some losses which are going to come up, not very substantial, minor losses which are likely to come up. So that US thing looks to us. As regards the inventory, you know, in our, typically in a steel business, you know, you have to have an inventory you have to keep an inventory of almost like 75 to 90 days, which is about iron ore in the core. And like any steel producing company, we have also taken that on, we have it also on the ground. And to that extent, the commodity prices since then and now have significantly tapered off. So, you know, when we sort of have a hybrid analysis at the end of the year, we will be okay. But on a quarter-on-quarter basis, it might look a little out of place at this particular point in time. But over the period of the next 3 quarters, it will get completely evened out.
Got it. And so third question is on Sintex. I mean, by when do we expect to take over the management control of that entity and all the formalities getting completed?
It's difficult to answer. See, it's a process. You have participated into a process. We are, you know, and from our side, we are making our best effort. But to put a timeline to that becomes difficult because these are quasi judicial processes, and you have no control onto that. But we are hopeful that, you know, what is of interest and what is of significance, the process seems to be in the right direction. It is, you know, all the indicators are fairly encouraging, and we are very optimistic and hopeful that things will turn out in our favor in times to come. Given it could be a little, you know, out of whack at this point in time.
Got it. Makes sense. Thanks, sir, for the opportunity, and wish you the best for the future. Thanks.
Thank you, Neera. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question comes from the line of Abhishek Ghosh from DSP. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So just in terms of the, while you did allude to the point that second half for domestic is going to be strong, but if you can just give a broad trend, given that the commodity prices have kind of seen fairly good correction, the order inflow which is coming in from both oil and gas and water, because if you look at your, you know, last 4 to 5 years, you used to do volumes in the domestic part of the business, anything in the region of 5.5 to 6 lakh odd tons. So should we, you know, the kind of visibility that you have in FY24-25, will you be able to surpass those previous trends given the sharp improvement in the overall capex that is happening in both water and oil and gas at the same time? Just some thoughts that will be helpful, sir.
See, on the oil and gas side, I think so things are moving as they were planned. I think so there was a very steady state of business which was there in oil and gas because the drivers for that business were very different. That business was the strong demand right? And a very good pricing, which was available to the oil and gas company. So oil and gas business, you know, did not get impacted. Of course, now with the steel pricing further tapering off, you know, we see more businesses or more projects to come up on the table. But on the water, Abhishek, I think so what happened was that, you know, because of the commodity or the steel pricing going up, you know, the steel, domestic steel was almost 80,000 rupees a ton, right? And now 80,000 rupees a ton, it has come down to almost 56,000, 57,000 rupees a ton. So that is that correction which has happened over the last 2 months. I think so that is generating confidence into people. And I think so that is where the buyer is back into the market and they have started buying. We are seeing attraction in, you know, people buying for those, all the stalled projects. As we are speaking, you know, we will see that, you know, in this particular quarter, we will see a lot of opportunities which will be converted into business opportunities. And that opportunities will get converted into a sale in the quarter three and quarter four. So I am sure that, you know, in quarter three and quarter four, we will see a much higher production and dispatch volume in the domestic water sector in India as well.
Okay. Sir, just two more things. In the current order book of about 3.5 lakh tons for the domestic part of the business, what is the execution timeline for the same?
This order book, you know, I would, in terms of percentage, I would say that most of it, almost 75 to 80%, would get executed in this financial year. The residual component of some export orders will go over to the first quarter of the next year, which could be around 20-odd%, but so almost 70-75% of the order book will get executed in this financial year, sir. India order book. I'm talking about the India order book.
Yes, sir. I'm referring to the 3.5 lakh tons of India order book that you referred to. Okay.
That's correct.
And in terms of the active bid book that you spoke about, of I think of almost 1.9 million tons, if I'm right, and that's what you mentioned in the presentation as well. If you can give a broad sense in terms of the various geographies, that will be helpful.
We are, as I said, you're right. Almost the active bid book stands at close to 2 million tons at this point of time, and we are seeing a sort of a growth in every geography. We are seeing Europe, you know, we are seeing opportunities in Europe, as I was just earlier mentioning about on one of the questions raised by Vikas. And we are also seeing a huge traction coming up in Latin America. We are seeing, you know, business ramp up in the Middle East market. We are seeing a lot of business opportunities coming up in the Southeast Asian and the Australasian market. And as you would have seen that we won 4 back-to-back consecutive orders in the Southeast Asian market. So all in all, if you look at it, if you exclude US for the time being, we are seeing growth in Europe, we are seeing growth in Latin America, we are seeing growth in Middle East, growth in Southeast Asian market. And when I say growth, I mean that there are active projects which are up on the table where we are one of the participants. That is how this bid book is looking at close to 2 million tons. So in terms of opportunities, I think so there are significant opportunities which are emerging globally now, and which is a very healthy sign. We are seeing this sign after a very long time, and looks like, and as I have always been saying, that this cycle is going to continue for next 5 to 7 years time, and we are very optimistic that we will have a major role and a leading role to play in addressing the requirements around that.
Okay. And so just one last question in terms of the active bid book of almost about 2 million odd tons that we're seeing now. What was this number, say, pre-crisis, just to get a sense, and if you can get that number for ex-US, I think that would be good. Just a broad sense.
They dropped down to almost 1.2 million tons at one point in time during the pandemic and that time. But more than that, the decision making got impacted. It was not that the bid book went down, it was the decision making which was getting impacted. And the moment we saw that the pricing are firming up, the moment we saw the supply chain, you know, the supply chains are getting restored, the supply chain lines are getting restored, now we are seeing that bid book also going up and the decision making also coming up on the table. So there is a little shift which has happened now.
Okay, sir. Okay, sir. Thank you so much for answering my questions. Wish you all the best. Thanks.
Thank you, Abhishek.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants that you may press star and 1 to ask a question. Once again, a reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Anurag Patil from Roha Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. So, sir, for whole year FY23, can we say around 9 lakh to 1 million ton total pipe volumes are possible in terms of execution?
In terms of the pipe business you're talking?
Yes, sir. All pipes. Yes, sir. All pipes.
It is possible. It is definitely possible. And if you see, Anurag, you know, you see our track record, bearing 1 year, which was the pandemic year, you know, the second part of the pandemic year, I think that consistently we have been delivering a performance of more than 1 million ton on a year-on-year basis. So I see no reason that why should we be, you know, when things are showing sign of improvement, we are seeing a tailwind to the business. And you know, our performance, operational readiness is also to the is even better at this point in time. I feel very optimistic that we should be able to deliver and perform more than 1 million ton of pipes this year.
Okay, and sir, on the India side now, 50% of the order book is on the export side, where you must be witnessing better margins. So, can we say our India profitability will be little higher compared to historical levels this year?
Today, the mix of the business, what we have, is definitely better than what we had in the past. You know, we have to understand there is a distinction. In the past, there were limited opportunities and, you know, everyone was craving for capture on those opportunities. That's not the case anymore. I think so, and that, you know, now there are multiple opportunities and some quality opportunities are coming upon the table, which is what is signature Welspun business all about. You know, deep offshore, critical applications, niche customers. So we are seeing all those people now coming back into the market. So our order book reflects a quality jump into our product portfolio. So to that extent, we see our margins also slightly improving in terms, you know, what we have seen in the past. So as we execute, I am sure that, you know, we will also see the margins improvement coming up into play in comparison to the last year.
Okay, sir. That's it from my side. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Nora.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, we have reached the end of question and answer session. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Vipul Mathur, MD and CEO of Welspun Corp, for closing comments. Please go ahead.
Gentlemen, thank you very much for taking your time out on a busy day. We greatly appreciate your participation today. And I just want to conclude by saying that, please look at us from a year-on-year perspective. We have a very robust order book at this point in time under our belt. You will see a drastically upgraded performance in the second half of this particular year, because that's the nature of the business what we are in. And you having a confirmed order book under your belt is always is the key ingredient for that. On the steel side of it, we are absolutely, you know, at this point in time, while we have commissioned, we are taking time in terms of now settling down the businesses. And I am sure that you, in the quarter three and the quarter four, you would see a robust performance coming up from the steel businesses as well. So we appreciate your faith and your trust in our company. We will continue to do so. And with that, if you have any other pending questions you have in mind, and please reach out to me or to my team and they will be completely answered. But once again, thank you very much for taking time out today morning and wishing you all the very good, all the best and a good you. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of MK Global Financial Services, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.